With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the Armchair Cricket Podcast.
Hello all, welcome to another episode of Armchair Cricket Podcast, a podcast focusing on test cricket by armchair critics of the game. Today's episode is a digest episode. We are going to talk about 2 days worth of games from the ongoing Cricket World Cup. To help me dissect these two games, we have a guest who's, I must say, well known to all our listeners these days. Hello Ramchandra, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, hi Ajit, nice to be here again.
I mean, the pleasure, as I always say, is mine.
That's likewise.
How's the monsoon season treating you?
Oh, it's raining now. It's raining pretty consistently every day in the evening in Bangalore.
I mean, because you live in India.
Let's hope. Yeah. Let's hope it doesn't hurt any matches which are going to happen in Bangalore. I think at the Chinnaswamy, hopefully.
You have 5 games in Bangalore this time.
Yeah. I think there are from 2 or 3 very good games. So let's see.
Will you be going to any of them?
Actually, I can go, but I'm not sure that I'll be going for that or not. So one of my friends is a KSEM member, so he asked me to join, but I'm not sure that I'll be able to go to those games or not. One weekend, I think there is an England, I think there's Australia-Pakistan game in Bangalore, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big game.
That could be. Okay. Yeah, that's a big game. But India and Netherlands will be playing. So, I think your loyalties will be shared, I guess, that day.
I have decided to call in sick that day, not watch the game at all.
Okay, fine. So, I think, Ajit, did you follow Karnataka versus Netherlands?
I followed them through the newspaper and scorecards. I mean,
yeah, it was nice. Yeah.
Were there 3 games? Because I know 2 games, I knew the results.
No, 2 game? games, only 2 games. Only 2 games. It was a 50 overs game just for the Netherlands team's practice before the World Cup. The KSEM had organized this. Both were played at Alur. So there was no ball-to-ball commentary, nothing of that sort was there. But the journalists used to tweet what's happening. I think the second game was very close, Ajit. Any team could have won it. But Manish Pandey's brilliance. The last wicket partnership, took Karnataka over the line. And it was sheer brilliance of Manish Pandey. 109 not out or something he got that game.
Correct. Yeah. And I think Vijay Kumar Vaishakar, somebody stood with him and won the game.
Correct. Yes.
Kaushik, is it? Vasuki Kaushik.
Kaushik, okay. Yeah.
Fine. Nice. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now, coming to the World Cup, let's start right there. Then we can go to the game from yesterday. So, the game that finished minutes ago, Netherlands versus New Zealand. Did you get a chance to catch up?
Yeah, I did follow. I watched Sachin Tendulkar's batting in the evening. While I was busy with my office work, I did watch Sachin Tendulkar's batting a bit. It was nice, he got a half century. Then Will Young batted well. So 327 was too much, I felt, for Netherlands. But I love the way Netherlands play their cricket. That fearless approach of theirs, despite wickets falling all round, they go for their shots. And I just loved it. 99 runs, it might, sound like a big loss or something of that sort. But I think they have the capability of winning a couple of games in this World Cup, I believe, Ajit. They can upset any team on a given day.
Correct. Look, talking a bit more practically, unfortunately, it's still, as they say in these parts, a bridge too far for us than the Dutch team. Because they were in control up to a point. New Zealand was never in trouble. It was not like they were going to be 150, 180. But at going at run a ball, let's say 44th over, 254 for 6, or the 49th over, right? With 8 balls left in the game, they were only 293. From that point on, they hit 30 runs.
Yes, 8 balls, that is something. Experience. Yeah. Right. Nerves. Experience, I think. Yeah.
Exactly.
That will get...
So, I'm thinking maybe that cost them the game, in as much that, 300 is still a psychological target. 302, 303, you can still say it's 322 is a big score.
Yeah. And Ajit, there is no dearth of talent in Netherlands setup. You can see there's talent all over. It's not that you can't really pinpoint and say you have these many weaklings. They have. I personally feel that they have got all their bases covered. I think it's time for guys like Roelof Vandermeer just to step up and perform every single game. He has to bat well. I think Roelof Vandermeer we know his capabilities as a batsman. I still remember those 3 sixes which he hit in 2000 IPL as playing for RCB. So he has got that capability. It's time for these guys to stand up and deliver. If these guys can do, I'm sure Ajit, they can win a couple of games.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. Look, if you were to look at the scorecard, the batting scorecard, everybody in the top 7 have at least a double-digit score.
Yes, right? They're chipping in, yes.
Where is the big 100? So if you need to chase 322, one is the run rate. You need to keep in touch with the run rate. Teja Nedumanaru run out. And then I think Bastalida caught. Some of those wickets you can think again and see, was this required? Scott Edwards, Scott Edwards, I don't talk too much about it because Sybrand Engelbrecht did enough to show he can belong at this level, right? But there were enough overs left. If he wanted, he could have gotten a 50. Aryan Dutt was playing very sensibly. I mean, he was the last guy out. You can't blame Aryan Dutt and Paul van Meekeren for anything there, right?
Yeah. So I'm sure, Ajit, there'll be one game perfectly set up for them. They'll probably get a team out cheaply. On a decent drive, and if their bowlers come good, 200, 220, if they get any team cheaply, I'm sure they're going to change this time.
Correct. I mean, if you were to look at it purely from a New Zealand perspective, some more things sort of falling in place. Will Young scoring some runs.
I think once Williamson comes back, they'll have a bit of headache. Like who
exactly.
Could
yeah. Well, on form, looks like Mark Chapman may miss out. Williamson comes out, Mark Chapman had only one go with the bat. He didn't get a chance to bowl. So he might have to step out simply because Glenn Phillips, we know, is a proven quantity. You will not go in without Mitchell and Latham. And Santner is man of the match, Pfeiffer.
Yeah, Santner is a quality spinner. Yeah, yeah. You need that kind of a spinner. And probably they may take a chance with Jimmy Neesham. Probably his bowling is not it. He's not in great shape. I think he's known to be leaking lots of runs, and his batting too is not really been that consistent. So, like, it's just like my opinion, and they might probably drop Jimmy Neesham as well if they want to, bolster the batting a bit more. So, they're not really looking more than for 5 or 6 overs from Neesham. So, it makes sense to have a proper batsman. I think they've got enough bowlers to make it up, 50 overs.
Correct. See, Mark Chapman didn't even bowl today. Mitchell didn't bowl. See, if you think about it, bowling they have enough to make up. I mean, will it be quality? Yeah. That's a different question altogether.
Yeah, that's a different question. Yeah.
The main one, Sodhi is not getting a game. That's the only thing. So where will Williamson and Sodhi fit into this team is my question. I mean, it's actually a problem of too many rather than too few.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. Yeah.
So in the next games, in the upcoming games for New Zealand, how do you see Williamson and Sodhi fitting in? If this were to be the 11 that you were to be given, and whom would you take out?
There's no way they're going to drop Mitchell Santner. He's a decent bat as well. So, Rachin Ravindra, more than bowling all round, he's a batting all round. He's a proper number 3 now. So, you're not going to do anything with the top order now. So, probably you'll have to go with one bowler shot, like... As I said, I think Neesham for Sodhi, that would make sense. And then I think one top order batsman, Chapman or someone, are making way for Williamson. And probably that's the only way out, I guess, Ajit.
At least from these bowlers, Lockie Ferguson was the one that looked the most, let's say, lackluster.
Lackluster, true.
Yeah, I mean, 8 overs 32 is not a bad number, just that he couldn't take the wickets. He couldn't get the breakthroughs, you might say. He might be, I think Lockie will be rotated because he's a fast bowler who bowls really
quick. Fast bowlers, really quick, consistently 145.
Until Tim Saudi becomes available, Henry and Bolt, I don't see them getting separated. That means you may have to leave Lockie out, you may have to leave Chapman out, you'll have to bring in Saudi and Williamson. So that'll give you, let's just say, enough spin, but you'll rely a bit more on spin then, but there's always Mitchell who, if you need to make up a few overs, there's Mitchell, right? So it's a tough call because Will Young scored the runs today. It would be unfair if you were to drop him. So that's what I would think going forward for New Zealand. But going forward for Netherlands, today they missed Logan van Beek because he was injured. He'll come back.
Yes.
Ryan Klein didn't do much either with the bat or the ball. So I guess that'll be a like-for-like swap. And I don't see any other change really in this 11, unless you think some other changes might be required. Yeah.
No, I think it's a perfect in what you said. I think they're doing well. They're winning games. And why would you want to, you know, meddle too much with this? I think they're probably going to go with that. Unless, like, Williamson is 100% fit, I don't think they need any changes, to be honest.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's the game from today. If you have a quick look at the game from yesterday, where, well, India played Australia. But did the nature of the result surprise you?
Yeah, to be very honest, I think I was surprised when Australia won the toss and chose to bat first. The reason being, I think there was this talk about the dew factor while chasing. And there is traditionally this thing about, you know, it's not easy chasing a chepauk, but still considering the dew factor and this time of the year in October, there is the dew factor which is coming into play. But I think the way they fought, Ajit, I think 200 was below par, in my opinion. Probably 240, they could have made a game out of it. 200, they still fought well. And that, you know, traumatizing 5-for-3. We started from where we are let off from the last World Cup, you know. 5-for-3, the semi-finals 2019. There we go here again. And luckily, KL Rahul was in his zone and he hardly put a foot wrong, along with, apart from that one, you know, miscue from Kohli, it was unblemished kind of a partnership between those two, and it just took the game away from the opposition. I think it was a fantastic wonder batting, Ajit. And this is something which we are so used to seeing in the 90s, isn't it? And when your team is chasing a moderate score and there are wickets, you know, falling around up front, you go into your shell. But when you look at the way KL batted, it was not that he was batting at a strike rate of 50 or 60. His strike rate was always about 70. So they just showed that he played his shots. He did not do anything agricultural. It was proper cricketing shots, those drives, those cuts, those late cuts. I mean, Ajit, I was watching on Star Sports Canada. Mm. Look at the kind of, you know, who writes these scripts, you know, when he played those two late cuts. I think it was G.R. Vishwanath who was calling the game. And what else can you ask for? The man who had patented this late cut was doing commentary from his, you know, fellow Karnataka batsman. And I was overwhelmed, you know, looking at the way, these two Karnataka batsmen are doing their business. One great was calling, they were probably a future greats batting shots. I mean, it was fantastic. I just loved the way KL batted. And of course, what can you say about Kohli? He's a chase master. And once he, you know, got a reprieve, he hardly put a foot wrong after that. And there was no way they're going to get Kohli out once you give him that kind of a chance. And he just, you know, made you pay for that reprieve.
Correct. Look, only thing, if anything, you can see that, you know, Kohli did not look his fluent best. There were a lot of French cuts, a lot of mistimed shots. And there was that clear chance. I'm sure Australia and mainly Mitchell Marsh, who had a shocker of a day, will come to rue many times over. But he was there. He did what he needed to do. And you saw the frustration when he got out, that he wanted to be there till the end. It was very clear for him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So that was there for the taking.
Absolutely. And when you see that, this is what you want your top players to commit to and play, right? The way you want them to play. It's very great that Kohli hasn't lost that appetite even after so many years at the top and so many comfortable chases that he's won for his teams across all formats of cricket he has played, right? So, having said that, what did you make of how Australia played? I mean, it was a sticky wicket. It was a Chennai wicket that it looked like a four-day test match wicket when you looked at it from the top.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It was gripping, turning from ball one. I mean, that's again a normal good cricketing wicket. There's no issues there. But Stephen Smith was worked out beautifully by Jadeja. Mitchell Marsh, well,
Jadeja.
I think he went for a shot that was not there.
Shot. Not there,
So if you look at Warner and Smith, right, it again comes back to how important these two are, and potentially with Marnus Labuschagne, if the pitch has something in it, be it swing or turn.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Or CMR turn, you can say. How these three people who are more test match oriented players, they become suddenly very important. Warner, I don't know if you can call him test match oriented. Let's call him test match oriented. Simply because
he's got lots of runs.
Right? No, he did his bit. Yeah. It was his wicket and then, of course, Smith's wicket, which really cost Australia that momentum. Because if you look at the up until even the 27th over, 110 for 2, it's not too bad. Because, see, you know on this pitch, 250 plus is a winning score or a potentially winning score. Right?
Yeah.
India don't have their regular opener, Gill. So, you know, you're in with a chance. And off and on, Rohit Sharma did fail, Kishan did fail, Shreyas Iyer did fail. Three ducks from top four in India, right? So you have that sort of a start. As you said, 240, they would have probably converted it to a win. But also, I think their tail did a very good job. From something like 7 for 240, 7 for 140, they could have been 155 all out, right?
Very true.
So they showed that guts, the usual Australian guts and gumption, where they hang in there. They played time. They nearly ate up all their overs. So that's great cricket as far as I'm concerned. And from that, the way they came back to reduce India to 5 for 3, you thought, at least I thought, it was Australia's game.
Very much. I did. It was a matter of one good ball at that point in time. Even if you had held Kohli's catch, it was probably 70-30 in favor of Australia because, I of course, I mean, Pandya is a proper batsman. Then you had the likes of Ashwin, Jadeja and other, two all-rounders coming. But still, I think it was a mountain too big to, when it's your 54-4 or 5, you're always looking toward the mountain. That's what exactly happened in the 2019 chase against New Zealand, isn't it? I think we lost four or five wickets for nothing. And it was too much of a catching up game to do. So it was a matter of one wicket. So that's why I admire the way, the pace at which this partnership went, Ajit. They never went into their shell completely. They punished the bad balls. They played proper cricketing shots, so very good balls. So you could see the way KL Rahul played those cuts and the cover drives, Ajit. I think proper ball, good balls, hitting them in the gaps and fetching boundaries. I mean, that's where probably the Australians were on the back foot. And if they had gone into the shell, if India were like 15 overs, 35 for 2 or 35 for 3 or something of that sort, then even then, probably Australia would have said that, we hold the upper hand. It was a matter of one wicket. What they did was they scored at a decent rate and they made sure that, that the scoreboard is picking. Ticking. I think that probably helped Indian cause a great deal. And talking about Australia's batting, Ajit, you knew there is a lot of quality. Unfortunately, Mitchell Marsh, March chased the ball, probably should have left alone and paid the price for it. Probably set the tone for Indians, They came back and once the spinners were back, probably they literally made these Australian batters bad to the tunes. And it was nice to see the way Ajit, Ashwin, Kuldeep, and even Jadeja ball. I think Jadeja ball, two snorters to get this. I'm sure that you're not going to get these kind of pitches throughout the World Cup. I'm sure that you'll be going with only two spinners going forward. Depending on the pitch, but it is a great exhibition of spin bowling. And I'm sure that at Ahmedabad in the next game, against Pakistan, after the Afghanistan game, I think Ashami will be playing probably in place of one spinner. But I think job well done, Ajit. I think whoever called the shots for going with three spinners, considering the pitch, they deserve lots of laurels because pitch was laid out perfectly for the spinners to rule the wrist and they did their job. And look at the control they gave, Ajit, in the middle overs. I think everyone's economy was below four, if I'm not wrong. So that's the way, the old-fashioned ODI cricket was played. And Ashwin was unlucky. He just got one wicket. Probably deserved a couple of more. The way he bowled, the control he provided you. I mean, you could see that, he hardly bowled any bad balls. Such a kind of control he's giving. I mean, I was not really a great fan of having Ashwin back, considering the amount of, 50-over format cricket matches he had played over the years. But the legend he is, he did not take any time to, settle down and he's doing the job. And the rotation will go on, Ajit, throughout the World Cup. I think you will see a few games where three spinners would play. Then you would have Shami coming in place of one spinner. This is going to happen. But I'm happy seeing that the way Indian bowlers are performing. I think all the bases are covered. All the bowlers are in very good form. Someone like Shami sitting out, you can just understand how good Indian bowling is. So that's a great sign. And It's just a matter of two good games, Ajit, from the knockouts. I think India will be world champions. I just hope that I'm sure that India is going to make it to the knockouts, looking at the way they're playing. Australia were one of the tougher opponents. They got rid of them. I mean, they got 2 points from them. I think England and South Africa will be a night, interesting game, Ajit. I mean, South Africa are punching above the weight. And in my book, they're the dark horses. Let's see how it goes. But I'm really confident. You know, this is probably the best Indian team in the World Cup. I mean, looking at the, I mean, I'm just talking about the team on paper and the form. So probably if this team can't win a World Cup, I'll be really disappointed, Ajit.
Well done. Well, you covered, I think, the hopes of many an Indian fan in how you put it in your messaging. Importantly, I think Ashwin, there was a passage where Ashwin Jadeja were bowling to Smith and Marnus Labuschagne. It was almost like a test match cricket. You could see that ebb and flow of the pressure. That was fantastic to see if you're a cricket fan. But we'll witness more of this, I have a feeling, right, in the upcoming days, even as we see different kinds of pitches in this tournament. All right. But before we go away from the World Cup, there is some bit of minor complaint about the outfield in places like Dharamshala. I don't know if you came across this.
Yeah. I did read that blog. I read the news. And it's really disappointing, isn't it? I think when a major global tournament is happening and these kind of things really tarnish the image of not only the World Cup, but also the BCCI. You know, this BCCI being the richest board in the world. It really hurts, isn't it, Ajit? I think in the global forum, when people look at this and say, I mean, these guys have so much money when they can't lay out a proper outfield. I think if you remember, I think in March, there was a test match to be held against Australia. Unfortunately, due to this, you know, it was moved to indoor because the facilities were up to the mark. So I think 7 months down the line, there's still some complaint. I just don't know what the Himachal Pradesh Cricket Association is doing. I mean, they need to be taken to the task. It's as simple as that.
So it's very simple. I think there was some problem with the outfield where the grass had some fungus infection. Therefore, it had to be relayed in a hurry. And that was the reason that test match was moved. And there was always some fear about how it might shape up for the World Cup. So there might still be some small issues. And I heard the game for tomorrow, the outfield has been determined as average. So I really hope it doesn't tarnish the rest of the cricket.
And also, let's hope that no one gets injured. I mean, it's really dangerous, you know, in this, like, if it's an iffy outfield, one slide or dive and the players could be badly injured. And I just hope nothing of that sort happens tomorrow.
That was one of the worries I had about the World Cup. Let's hope it comes good. So, looking at tomorrow, there are two very interesting matches coming up. The morning's game will be between Bangladesh and England. It will be held in Dharamshala. So, well, England have had little bit of a chastening at the hands of New Zealand, but Bangladesh had a comfortable win against Afghanistan. So, how do you see this match panning out?
I believe that it's going to be even, Stevens. Ajit, for simple reason that Bangladesh with the spin is going to be a potent team in the subcontinent, and England. I feel that a bit shaky. Probably that loss in the first game would have dented their confidence a great deal. On the other hand, you could see their bowling. It just tapered off. So probably unless the batting comes good, they'll be in trouble. Probably it's going to be 50-50 game. Bangladesh, you just can't get them lightly. And Shakib Ul Haseen, the other guys, the spinners especially, and the batting is also looking decent. So it's going to be a great game, I guess, Ajit. And I'm sure that it's going to be one of the, probably hardly fought games, I believe.
That's good to hear. But I think Bangladesh has enough pace, firepower as well these days, simply because it's Dharamshala. Usually it's a pitch that supports more pace and swing, but they have enough good pacers. So I'm looking forward to a tight contest. Let's just put it like this. England will want to make a statement, will want to shrug off whatever blues they have. Favorites, right? True. And Bangladesh will want to continue on their winning run. The second match tomorrow is even more interesting. Pakistan, Sri Lanka, two winning teams. Thoughts?
Yeah. You don't know which Sri Lankan side or which Pakistan side would turn up on that day.
Right.
They are like the two most unpredictable teams. Let me put it this way. And I think Hyderabad conditions, the batting conditions very good there. So I won't be surprised if Babar Azam gets a big one there. Sri Lanka, on any given day, they can surprise you. But unfortunately, they're not really in great form. Overall, the team morale is down. I feel, even before the World Cup, that captain Fiasco hasn't helped them. Any team can win, but Pakistan will be the clear favorites. Probably 70-30 in favor of Pakistan tomorrow, I believe. Pakistan would want, to win this game and win it big. If I'm not wrong, Babar Azam probably would want to get a few runs under his belt. It's been a while since he got those runs, so it's going to be crucial. Looking in the way the Hyderabad pitch ran out in the first few games they have played, I'm sure that it's going to be a run fest tomorrow, Ajit.
Well, look, Sri Lanka may have lost the first game. They were overwhelmed by South Africa, but they did not really account badly for themselves. They came to 327, some runs from the middle order and lower middle order. I think it's going to be closer, but I have a feeling. I have a feeling Pakistan may yet, prevail. You're right. Before we let you go, one last question. Something slightly controversial, I must say. Looks like Zainab Abbas, who was covering the game. She's a Pakistani sports journalist, and she was anchoring and sort of acting as a host within some of the channels and some of the platforms. She's politely asked to leave, and she has left.
I was told that she made some derogatory comments about Indian team. So, obviously, there's some code of conduct. Once you violate them, obviously, you're going to be fired. And I don't know why this professionalism is missing from the to a certain extent.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Journalists and the presenters.
I think, let me highlight something else. It looks like it was about her tweets from the past where she was anti-Hindu and anti-Indian.
Yeah.
With digital world. Some lawyer has
digging the old tweets,
right?
Or digging the old tweets. This always happens. The political leaders do this when they switch parties. He will be in A party, would have criticized B party, and he'll go and join the B party. Then he'll ask to make sure that he deletes all the tweets which he had criticized the party. So this is the things, and you got to be really careful in public life, Ajit. Twitter, it's really a double-edged sword if you don't know how to use it, and you'll end up in trouble. You've seen people losing their jobs. You've seen people, making their life hell because of Twitter. Who better than Kevin Peterson? It's because of his Twitter fiasco. He was dropped in 2012. You got to be careful, Ajit. People are watching you, and you got to be really serious about what you're doing. So it's really unfortunate that she had to make a move, but you just can't help it. Once you do these kind of phobic things, no one is going to spare. And it's really unfortunate, and it's a shame, isn't it? And during a global event, and something of this sort happens,
exactly,
and even the Pakistanis won't be happy about this, and they would be feeling really hurt.
It opens a big can of worms for me, simply because there are other journalists, other people who talk at commentary, people like Ramesh Raja, who have not spoken very glowingly. Yeah. He was formerly the PCB chairman. And
PCB president, then he said. He even said that Pakistan shouldn't be visiting, shouldn't be touring India for the World Cup. So here he is, the first man to land in India to do the commentary duties. So it's like,
No. I'm not asking about his coming to India, but
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's not targeted. I don't know if it was right. And is there a time limit that we should look at when people are allowed to make mistakes or have different opinions over time that they can change?
Yeah, people change with time. But look, as long as it's not anything derogatory or detrimental to, you know, peace and harmony, I don't think it's a big deal. So once you make kind of this religious communal comments, tweets, then probably you're in trouble, irrespective of when you made it. Of course, people will target you, see how they'll hold a mirror to you and say, this is what you are. So, which is not acceptable. We too, as employees in an IT firm, we have certain code of conducts, right? We can be held up if we do some derogatory comments about religion, race, caste, racism, everything, anything of that. So if we do anything on social media and we get held up, we'll be fired on that particular moment. So that's what happens. So these are the things which you probably, you know, need to be really wary of. Unfortunately, I think she had to pay the price for it. And I really feel sorry for her, Rajit. There's no other way of looking at it.
It opens a can of worms. I think we should stop the discussion here. Otherwise, there's plenty to say. Moving on, did you see the results of the Asia Cup men's gold medal competition?
Yeah, I did watch it. Unfortunately, it could not finish the way it was supposed to. But we'll take that gold medal. I think India deserved that gold medal and probably would have chased it down, irrespective of how many Afghanistan would have got. India would have chased it down. Probably the top order was too heavy, you know. Someone like Jaiswar, Rituraj Gaikwad, and Tilak Varma would have got them. It's really happy to see. And I think, I had one, I think probably I felt that this probably looking at the ground dimension and the playing conditions, probably T20I status, probably I felt that I even tweeted regarding that. I don't think it deserves a T20I status. You know, the record of Yuvraj Singh was broken. I think 260, the highest number of runs in a T20 game, that was broken by Nepal. So it just made a mockery of international cricket, I felt, Ajit, because the dimensions were not great. The bowlers were not great. And in these kind of records will enter the record books and replace, you know, someone like Yuvraj Singh's record of 12 balls, 50. I felt it was unfair. People have different ways of looking at it, but I felt that probably a list A status would have sufficed. But I think Asian Games, probably they felt that it was too big and they gave the T20 status.
No, I think it's the choice of it's the choice of ICC that all the international games or all the games played between two countries will be recognized as an international. So it's not a really Asian Games Council choice.
Yeah. It got nothing to do with this. But I remember in the 1998 Commonwealth Games, right, if you remember, there, I think, proper cricket matches, I think full-strength Australian side had played there, South Africa had played there, India had sent in a team under Anil Kumble as a captain, I remember, 1998. Those were 50 over games in the Commonwealth Games. And if you remember, I think Jamaica, Barbados and Trinidad played as a different countries there because it's not West Indies over there when you're representing Commonwealth. So I remember that was a list A status which was given then. And I'm not sure what changes were made this time, but as I said, I think if you watch those games, I think the highlights are available. Ajit, you can watch it. You don't feel that, you know, it deserves to be international. But having said that, happy for Jaiswal. Jaiswal, he got his T20I century. I mean, can't be more happy for him. He's a fantastic lad. He's going to get a lot of runs for India in all the formats. I think in 50-over format, he's probably going to be a dynamite on top of the order, Ajit. I think him along with Shubman Gill opening the batting in the near future for India, it's going to be fantastic in 50 overs.
Fair enough. That's one thing. But for me, it was nice to see many teams. Yeah, I know it's a short ground, small ground, but people like Cambodia who hardly started playing cricket a couple of months ago.
For them
to come out, play 20 overs, that was nice to see, right? China playing. The bigger picture is more important. And what really disappointed me is how it ended. In as much that seeding decided it, not any other form of tiebreak, anything else. I mean, I tweeted, I remember saying that, you know, India would be happy to win the gold, but Afghanistan would feel worse than South Africa of 1992 World Cup.
Yeah.
Right? That's terrible.
Yeah. That's unfair, isn't it? I think. If probably a reserve day could have helped, but I don't think it's too much of an ask for Asian Games to have a reserve day for cricket. I think it's too much of an ask. But still, I think, India, as I said, I think a proper game where any team would have taken it as cricket fans, but the rules are rules and just like the boundary count in the 2019 World Cup. this probably will remain as a blemish. Though India deserved to win the gold medal, I can't help it. I mean, these are the rules which are probably formulated and designed much before the event. So we just simply cannot complain, isn't it?
They should think a bit more is all I'm saying, because India got the benefit twice. Quarterfinal got rained out, they came to semifinal. Final got rained out, they got the gold medal.
Yeah.
I don't think gold they deserve medal, this anymore. Two buys in a four-game tournament is a bit much, isn't it? Or a three-game tournament.
Exactly.
All right. That was one fun story. Okay. But going forward, there is one excellent news. If you were to see that, I just read now that cricket will be a part of the Olympics for the first time after 128 years. Because now for the LA Games of 2028, cricket is going to be confirmed. We are waiting official confirmation potentially in a week or so. That cricket will indeed be a part of the Games officially. Thoughts?
Oh, that's great news. I'm a fan of having cricket in global tournaments like these, Commonwealth, Olympics, Asian Games, everywhere. The thing is that you have to make sure that there are no bilateral tournaments going on at that time. You don't want second string, third string sides turning up at the Olympics just for the heck of it. Have a proper team, send in a, make sure that there are no bilateral contests or any ICC events at that point in time. Let all the teams compete, teams like Australia, India, South Africa, full sun side competing at Olympics. It's going to be a great fest. And I want that to happen, Ajit. If that doesn't happen, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Just like the Asian Games, what we had, the second string sides just playing there for the sake of it and one side winning by the luck of the draw, whatever. Let's have proper cricket contest. Right. That's a proper cricket play. There's a gold medal at stake. For a country like India, Olympics gold medal is a huge thing. You know, apart from hockey, a few individual, Abhinav Bindra and Neeraj Chopra, we've hardly won any gold medal. So for a team like India, Olympic gold medal is a huge thing. Just in my book, it's on par with the World Cup title. So if cricket team can fetch you a gold medal, that's a great news. So make sure there are no, have a window where for 15, 20 days, you don't have any bilateral series and prepare for the Olympics and make sure that, all the cricket teams do that and go in for the Olympics and see how it goes. And because LA, I think US has proper cricket fields. I think Lauderhill and other grounds, I think grounds will be ready where proper cricket pitches will be laid out and it's going to be a great contest. And I think Houston, Lauderhill has proper cricket grounds. So it's a great news if in Los Angeles we can have cricket contests.
I mean, I think now with the major league and minor leagues being played, there may be good grounds in LA.
Exactly.
They don't need to ask Houston or Lauderhill. But in Lauderhill, any case, you're right. So it will be a welcome return.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And let the powers that be decide. There's enough time. There's 5 years now. And I'm sure the common sense will prevail. And we'll see when time comes. If we both are here still talking about cricket, we are surely going to discuss whether, all the big teams will be going or maybe just, teams will send some age group teams and so on.
That's the case with a lot of those. Even Ajit, even for the tennis players, talk about tennis players. You see people don't take Davis Cup pretty seriously, though it's a global event where you represent your country. You could see top tennis players not really, going full guns blazing or something of that sort. It's the same thing with Olympics, three set matches. You could see that someone like Djokovic doesn't win in Olympics, but the very next week he'll go and win the US Open. So I'm not saying that these guys come underprepared or play below par, but the thing is that once you don't have that kind of this is a serious stuff going on and tennis and cricket are part of it and something of that sort, this is not going to change it. Only athletics and these kind of things, athletes will be very serious about it. I just want all these, cricketers, tennis players, everyone to be serious about it. I mean, tennis, obviously, I think it's a golden slam and all this stuff's in there. So tennis players do take it seriously. I want cricket players to really be serious. It's Olympics gold medal and it's a huge thing, I think.
Correct. 100% right. I'm hoping that, you know, players also take it a bit more seriously, simply because, well, Federer won, I think, a doubles gold in Olympics, right? And I think Serena Williams won an Olympic gold as well.
Serena Williams. So, yeah. I think Nadal won singles.
There you go.
I think Djokovic managed only bronze, I guess, if I'm not wrong. So Serena Williams and Steffi Graf have won gold.
There you go.
In the past. So it's a huge thing, even tennis, even now. But somehow I don't understand how when Djokovic in the peak of his race couldn't win a medal in 2021 at Tokyo.
Correct. Now, let's see if we'll see some other big tennis player of that era coming and playing in the next Olympics and in the coming Olympics as well, along with cricket.
Sure.
All right. Yeah. Those are all the cricketing stories for this week. So, any new articles you wrote, Ramchandra, related to World Cup or maybe other sport in the recent past?
I just wrote an article about Novak Djokovic. It was a Kannada article.
I read it, actually.
So,
very well composed.
It was like I was asked to write, since tennis. He had made that record, you know.
Prajavani, right?
24 Grand Slams. Prajavani, Kannada Daily. Yeah.
You had tweeted Kannada, it. Yeah. And thanks for doing that.
I tweeted.
I was able to.
Thanks. So I'll be starting, writing on cricket this month. I was caught up with work. So this weekend I have to sit and write something on cricket. It's been a couple of months since I've written anything about cricket. Just tennis is taking too much of time. The US Open in Cincinnati, I was busy watching them. So I'll be back to cricket now in the coming months. Also, the domestic season is starting. So it's like a, you know, festival of sorts for, domestic fans like this. Like me, and we have a book release coming up next week.
Okay.
W.A. Raman's book on the World Cup.
Okay.
So I think Lords of the Wankhede, it's been named. So I think I'll be going for the event on 24th.
Lovely.
I'll let you know. So I got an invitation, so that would be nice, I'll go and I'll get to meet a lot of cricketers. I'm told that Laxman and Jawal Srinath will be the chief guests.
Fantastic.
For this. Unfortunately, last time for the first book of WB, it was Anil Kumli and Rahul Dravid who were the chief guests.
Uh-huh.
This time, the both are busy in, different capacities in the World Cup. One is head coach and other is doing commentary. So, even G.R. Vishwanath was there last time. So, this time, these guys won't be there. But you'll get to, meet a lot of former Karnataka cricketers, journalists. And it will be a nice event, I'm sure. I'll let you know how it went.
Fantastic.
Yeah. W. Raman is a very warm person. He's a very nice person. So, he respects everyone who's a cricket fan, and he listens to what you say, despite him being an international cricketer. He values every cricket fan's opinion. So that's a great thing about him. So I was surprised actually when he invited me for this. So who am I? Just a cricket fan who writes a bit. So for him to, remember me and invite me for such an event, I was overwhelmed at it. And I just can't ask for anything else.
I can imagine. You're a lucky person.
Yeah.
I hope your contacts and, your achievements within the
literary
circles grow. Good luck going forward.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Aditya. Sure. Once you're in Bangalore, let's meet few cricketers.
Indeed.
Sure,
this is a plan. We'll talk about it with time.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks for, as always, for a guest appearance.
Very sure.
And we wish all our listeners also a good day, wherever they may be listening from. Thank you and bye.
This is the Armchair Cricket Podcast.
Podcast Network.